You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What you need to know is being brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. Less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. It's SLK on 710 ESPN. Clinton Yates is in for S and L.
What up?
We got Bergman and Unique, who is standing by right now with what you need to know. Hi, Laura.
Hello, Scott. So I was, you know, scrolling.
scrolling
that
around.
Too, that too. You're trolling people.
Scrolling around Twitter, and this caught my attention. When I was growing up, I used to be obsessed with Pikachu. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, seriously, I was like, Pikachu. I would do that all the time. Anyways, so the internet is saying that Pokemon live action series is going to, it's in the works and it's coming to Netflix. I don't know how I feel about that. Because live action, how can you really go about that? But you know what? I'm going to give it a try. So it's an early development, according to Variety. Are you guys in on that? Or are you guys like, eh, I'm out?
So I'm a little too old for Pikachu. Like that was, I mean, it came out when I was a young person, but not when I was a child. You know what I'm saying? So like, I wasn't playing that game. But many of the people that I know now as an adult play Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
And it's like the whole thing. What's your boy's name? Jake Paul, Logan Paul, insert Paul brother here. Mm-hmm. He came onto the ring with that Pokemon card on his whatever. I understand this is part of the zeitgeist. I'm just aged out of it a little bit. But my question, Scott, goes back to what Laura mentioned. What is live action? Like what?
Oh,
how does that work?
I'm so glad you asked, because when you said you were too old to get into Pokemon, I'm at least 10 years older, so I'm way beyond, and I didn't know what live action meant either. What does that mean, Laura? Do you know?
So it just means it's not going to be a cartoon.
Yeah, but like
character.
Like people, like okay. guys in okay. costumes.
Look,
like,
no, no.
like
how are like, we going to do this? Is what I'm saying.
To us, Greg.
There is already a movie that was live action Pokemon. It was
okay, as in non anime.
It was non-animated. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was Ryan Reynolds, and he did. It was other people too. But yeah, they had a live action Pokemon movie already.
Huh. It wasn't just videos of people.
And a lot of people loved
it. Are you
kidding? People went nuts.
Walking around cemeteries looking for things on their phone.
No, there's like, you know, it's just you there's like a storyline behind it. My kids loved the movie.
Right.
I've watched it a couple times.
So I guess the reason why I was intrigued is because I know a lot of guys that love Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
And they're older.
Dragon Ball Z was awesome.
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. That's
DBZ,
the,
baby.
You know what
it
I mean?
Was.
They're
that
like
good stuff
Goku
right
and all this other stuff. Like, yeah. I never got into that. My brothers love it. But yeah, exactly.
What is Dragon Ball Z?
Oh, come on.
We don't have time. This is a 200 level class. 200 yeah. level class. You got to take the prereqs in next semester. It's not going to work. But it's part of the sort of anime Japanese world where, like, you know, I don't even know how to explain it, but it's a cartoon.
Google it, man.
Fighting.
You can
it's a cartoon.
Google it.
I am Googling it right now.
It's a popular genre. And DBZ is a specific title, but the whole, you know, manga anime world, I mean, I'm not going to get into that. Yeah. But basically, I don't really get, I mean, is this a sequel to, oh, it's a series. So basically, what you're saying is, Greg, you're going to be watching this with your kids.
No, I'm sure the kids will want to watch it. They watched all of the, Netflix has like a new version of all these Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
The show, the original show, they redid it all and they watched all of those.
Yeah.
So I'm sure I'll end up watching.
I just want to hear someone go, Pikachu. That's all I want.
I just want to watch more footage of people playing Pokemon Go in the wild.
I tried, man. That thing was nuts. It's like
hard.
It was like, you are like two steps away, and then you couldn't catch the stupid Pokemon. I'm like, bro, I'm right there. What do you mean?
I tried it for like, it worked for like a week where me and my buddies would go and like walk around and try it out.
Yeah.
And after a while, I'm like, this is just
Cap has no idea what's going on.
No, I really.
You don't know Pokemon Go?
Dude,
that was a huge thing.
Yes, it was huge.
Okay, but let me
random
just say one
people
thing.
Would go to your house because it would be like right
it'd be like right there.
There's a Pokemon store here.
But how long ago would you guys say this Pokemon Go thing is? How long ago?
Four years ago?
Three, four years ago.
Yeah, three, four years ago.
So I remember it just in this way that my kids had people doing this like at the house or something like that.
With their phones out, looking at stuff. Yeah.
You know, sometimes when you guys say that you can't believe I don't know certain things, I've kind of come to this realization that I am a little bit older than everybody, although I know everybody thinks I'm a millennial. I know I look 25. It's just because I got my hair colored this weekend.
Aspiring
that's all.
Nobody thinks that.
Oh, is that? Nobody does?
Nobody,
oh,
no.
I thought everybody thought that. My bad. I thought everybody thought
Sorry to bring your bubble down. But
No, it's okay. I just thought that that's what everybody thought, but that's not the case. Okay. And I also realized that when you have four kids, like, you got other stuff going on in life.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's what I expected you to know about Pokemon to begin with, was through your kids. That's what I was expecting your connectivity point to be for me, but...
There's more to it, though. Like, I mean, it was a huge news story. Like, Pokemon
Craig's
Go was...
going not, deep.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, you know, people were talking about it on the news because people were walking into traffic
That's
with
true.
It.
I do remember like, that part because people were being very reckless.
There was a huge story behind it. Not that you played the game or you had any... But, you like, not knowing what it is kind of shocking to me,
That was one of those things that when it was happening, I had that old guy attitude, like, this is so dumb, I don't even want to know about it. It's probably the same attitude
Get
I had when
lawn.
Twitter first came out, like in 2009 when I first signed up for Twitter. I was like,
great read out of the backfield for you on that.
Yeah, I'll never need this. This is so dumb. I'll never need this. And now, I mean, here we are, 2021, and it's virtually one of the most important communication tools on the planet.
Exactly.
All right,
thank
Laura.
You, Laura.
You guys are welcome.
Clinton, do you have a series that you're currently watching on Netflix or any streaming service?
My favorite series that I'm not currently watching, but I am awaiting its next season, Cobra Kai. For sure.
Oh,
for
Cobra Kai.
For sure. Cobra Kai is awesome.
Okay.
That's where we are.
Okay.
Netflix took it over from YouTube.
Yeah.
And the show changed a little, but not the most. And they got season four coming up.
I have not yet seen Cobra Kai, although I do plan on going to that dojo to train, because I don't know if you heard or not, but me and Sedano are going to get into a boxing ring together or an octagon. Oh, yeah, you haven't heard about this?
Hold on, this is a real thing that's happening?
Yeah, this is a real thing, for reals.
Hold up, like a station promotional thing? You guys are going to have a bout?
Well, here's what happened. Sedano, I don't know if you know this about George or not, but George is a black belt in karate.
I knew that.
Okay. And I asked George the other day, now that you're into your 40s and you haven't practiced karate in all these years, if I just throw a punch at you, do you have the instincts to all of a sudden just go back to everything you knew from 20 years ago? And he said, I don't know, maybe, you know, I'd have to work it out a little bit. And so then we decided we're going to get into the ring together, and I'm going to be in like full gear, headgear, mouth gear. You know, I'm going to have like, you know, rib protectors, everything.
Sure.
And George is going to show up in his karate gi. You know, and I'm going to go to the Cobra Kai to do my training in advance of that fight.
This is a great idea. Whose idea? Like, I need to be a part of this somehow. I want to be the ring announcer.
Oh, ring
for
announcer,
when this
referee,
happens.
Whatever you want.
100, no, referee, no. I'm not touching either one of you weirdos. But I definitely want to yell on the mic. I'm joking. But, like, I definitely want to be a part of this. This is fantastic.
You didn't have to apologize for calling us weirdos because, honestly, we are
bit.
A bunch of weirdos. Because I'll tell you right now, what I'm worried about is George is going to yank a hamstring going to try and kick me in the head. And I'm most worried about backing up and Conor McGregoring myself.
Yeah, and television's Clinton Yates will be there to call it all.
Hell
this
yeah,
is fantastic. I'm so excited about this.
He forgot to mention that he wants to train, but he doesn't want Sedano to train.
No, so that's right.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Right.
I mean, Sedano can stick to his normal training schedule.
No, nothing. He doesn't want Sedano training at all.
Well, I'm saying Sedano works out, right?
He does. Yeah, he walks like 6-7 miles a day.
He does.
Yeah.
Right.
But the reason for this is because I want Sedano to answer the question, can you break out the karate anytime you want to? So even if you haven't practiced for 20 years.
The instincts. Yeah.
Right. Do you still have the instincts? So that's, yes, you're right, Laura. I don't want Sedano to train.
I actually don't think that's unreasonable. I think that's fair. I mean, that's the original question that the challenge is based on. That's completely reasonable.
Thank you.
But you know what they say. Don't F around and find out, because you might find out. So be careful.
The thing that I'm really looking excited for is this. I just want to see them fight.
Yes!
I don't even care. I don't care who's wearing anything on, like helmets, body armor, whatever you guys are doing. I just want to see the two of you go at it.
Do we have a timeline for this? Like, when are we doing this?
I don't know exactly, but we're talking about it. It's in the works. Before the end of this year, and we're talking about setting up like a boxing ring or an octagon.
Yes.
You know, right in LA Live, you know, where all the listeners can come be a part of it. Yeah,
I can't believe that I missed this idea over the past couple weeks. This is the kind of crap I love.
I don't even care who wins. I just
We all win.
Right. Exactly. No matter who goes down, somebody's going to go down, and it's going to be amazing.
Oh, this is going to be great.
You know what really has me worried, though, is that I've seen a lot of videos recently of boxing matches where people are in full headgear and they still get knocked the you-know-what out.
Yeah, well, you
and I don't want to be that guy. That is really embarrassing to be wearing the headgear and still get put down cold, you know?
Yeah, well, listen, I don't think George is going to strike you in the head to the point that it's going to take you down.
Mean,
the body blows, on the other hand, could be very, very painful.
Yeah.
So, you know, keep that in mind during your training.
Wait, hold on, Clint, you don't understand that there's a lot of pent-up aggression coming from Sedano. So if you don't think he's going to put
if I know anything about George is going to take more pride in putting Cap down with a body blow than he would by striking him in the head.
I don't know.
Body blows are underrated, vicious, and it just looks cooler, kind of. And also, like, George is a reasonable person. Hitting people in the head doesn't look that cool.
But like,
not in 2021.
Then you got Cap on the other side, who probably has a little bit of a pent-up aggression himself.
Cap would take a headshot.
Right. Well, I think he's going to give a headshot, too, though.
That's what I'm saying. Cap would deliver a headshot,
in
my opinion. Because George strikes me as a body blow guy.
Yeah, because even though George has the karate background, I plan on using George's rib cage like I'm going out for a 60-yard field goal attempt. You know what I mean? I'm planning on trying to break out my old school kicking leg days.
The
you know?
Leg game. This
but,
is
you know,
be so
30,
great.
30 years later, you know,
go to
unfortunately.
Ground. Oh, I can't wait.
So you're also taller and like bigger too, I think.
Oh yeah, I have a height advantage. Yeah. I have a weight advantage.
Do you have a reach,
advantage?
Oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah. Now George is younger. And he has real training. He's a skilled, trained martial artist.
Meaner too. Like, just on a basic level of fighting competition, like, you know, a little something in the tank there, you know?
Yeah, no,
okay.
He is. He's saucy that way, you know what I mean? He's one of those guys, he always wants to be right. He'll yell and scream at the top of his lungs if you don't agree with everything he says. And so it's going to be one of those things where he comes out and he's going to be like, all right, Kaplan, remember that time you didn't agree with me? Now take this, boom, to the head. Take this to the ribs. And I'm just going to be wearing so much padding. I'm going to look like Eric Dickerson used to look like when he was playing for the Rams back in the old days. I'm going to have on every piece of equipment known to man.
You're going to get a Jerry curl too? I'm going straight to Vegas, by the way, to bet on George.
You're going to take George in this fight.
100% of the time. Guy with former karate training versus Scott Kaplan? It doesn't even need to be George. No, this will be fun, though.
You know, I think if I go to Vegas with you, I'm going on Cap.
What?
I think I'm putting my money on Cap here.
Wow.
I really am. I've seen him play golf. I've seen it like he shocked
play
me.
Play golf?
No, 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 no. I'm saying like he's
how
he's
did got, those skills transfer?
No, because he's got power. Like he hit
right.
a ball
core power.
Deep.
Okay.
Yeah, no, he hit a ball deep. I was like, wow, I did not expect that. So this is the same type of thing. I think he's going to come out with all that gear on and no gear for Sedano, and he's just going to wreck shop.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's one spin kick and this bad boy is over.
No, I think he'll take it and he'll be like, all right.
All right, this is good.
I plan on taking the punishment, and then once I've taken it and George got nothing left in the tank, that's when I plan on dishing it out.
Okay.
It's going to happen, too.
Submission hold.
I got you, Cap.
I got Sedano.
Thank you.
I got you, Cap. Submission hold. Wow, we're calling shots now. This is amazing.
Me and Clint going to roll to the bank, okay?
You know, directly to the bank. I'm buying beers for everybody not named Scott and Greg.
Right?
Hey, I'm taking those odds. I'm going to get a lot of money back for that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm going to be 30-1 in this thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Big
numbers. My rent.
All right, listen, coming up, I mentioned Eric Dickerson. Well, you know, the Rams aren't looking to sign a veteran running back, and that includes Eric Dickerson or Todd Gurley. Because remember, I came up with this concept last week. Well, go give Todd Gurley a shot. They're saying no to any veteran running back right now. We're going to be at Rams camp on Wednesday. Let's start to take a look at the headlines surrounding the Rams as they get ready to kick off training camp. That's coming up next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Motown Philly, we were talking
Motown
about it earlier.
Billy Backer,
it's SLK on 710 ESPN. Clinton Yates is in today.
What up?
Sedano and LZ. And will be with us all week long. It's great having you, Clinton. I love working with you, man.
No doubt, man. Glad to be here, bro.
And I'm looking forward to Wednesday at Rams training camp.
Yeah. That should be fun, man. I this is before we get into the McVay stuff and sort of just where that team is. As a matter of course, in the radio business, kiddos. Live remotes, tons of fun. One of those things where you can get back to the people, you can see some real stuff, you can engage with folks. I'm very much looking forward to Wednesday.
Yeah, and listen, all the talk last week about the NFL pressuring the players to get vaccinated, and when I say pressuring them, I mean by telling players if you don't get vaccinated and you come into the locker room and you bring it and games get canceled, your teammates aren't going to get paid, plus you're going to forfeit the game. The other team that gets the victory, they're not going to get paid, and you're going to have created a big, giant mess around you. So the NFL, no question, trying to pressure everybody. Clinton, I know I've had to provide my vaccination card for the Rams, and when we get there, take a rapid COVID test. I mean, in other words, they're doing what they have to do to make sure that their players and their front office people, people that we're going to sit and talk to, are all safe from us.
Yeah,
and
completing a season. That's what the NFL's trying to do. I mean, like, I'm not going to get into vaccination stuff because that's just not – I mean, yes, obviously that's something I've done. But, like, they're trying to get the season done, y'all. So that's why this is all happening. Pretty simple. Because last year, they're playing games on Tuesdays.
I'm trying to remember who it was.
It was the football team against the Steelers.
Yeah.
I remember exactly who it was.
Yeah.
You know, it was a ridiculous game, too. Like, anyway, so the Rams, though, have a lot going on their plate.
They do. A lot of headlines surrounding the Rams as they start training camp. And I mentioned this before the break, but, you know, I mentioned this last week. They lose Cam Akers, right as training camp is on the verge of starting. And listen, I think the running back position, Clinton, is an interchangeable one in the NFL. Unless you've got one of the truly premier upper echelon, top five, top 10 running backs, a three down back, I really think that a generation ago, the Denver Broncos showed you, you don't have to spend a first-round draft choice. You can find a guy who's an undrafted free agent. We can keep plugging him in. It's more about the O-line than it is the running back. That's my opinion. But that being said, I threw out the suggestion last week to kick the tires on Todd Gurley. Everybody laughed at me. Truth of the matter was, Gurley's statistics last year in Atlanta were very similar to that of like a Frank Gore or an Adrian Peterson. But again, the Rams say they're not looking to replace Cam Akers with a veteran running back. They like what they've got thus far in their roster. That is one of the headlines as we start this training camp.
I don't mind that. I mean, you know, if your point about the interchangeability of the position room is accurate, well, then if McVay thinks he can coach these guys up or second and third on the two deep, well, then sure, you don't need anybody else. As for the Gurley suggestion, I don't think it's ridiculous from a talent standpoint in terms of a match, obviously. But, like, bro, do you remember how contentious that was when he left?
I
don't see that happening again. I mean, it felt like at the time it was way bigger than football in terms of whatever their beef was, communication-wise or otherwise, as human beings. So, like, I think that is personal in a way that actually probably makes sense. Because neither one of them has looked particularly great since either one of them left each other. But I do like the idea that McVay says, hey, we've got a system. It should work. Because this is the thing that I say all the time in football, Cap. No longer do we seem to allow for coaches to be able to coach for development as opposed to coaching for just success. Now, normally my feeling is that quarterback is the worst coach position in the league. That's just a personal opinion. But if a guy says, hey, look, my running back room is fine. Our main guy goes down. It's not just necessarily next man up because it's a cold, cruel world, but this is the whole point of having the backs. You know what I mean? You've got a system. You can figure it out. I kind of like this from McVay in terms of trusting his guys that are already there.
Curious, though, why you think that quarterback is the worst coach position in the NFL?
I think it's because the reason I think this is very simple. Number one is that, okay, when guys come into the league, particularly quarterbacks, there is often the least jump from like kind of good in college to great in the pros. And the second least jump is the not so great in college, but pro material to average in the pros. You don't get a lot of that. Guys are sort of boom or bust dudes who are either maxing out, and that's why so many backups these days are not really good players. Because the way that we sort of want guys to be in the league is that they either got to be the starter or the franchise guy, or they got to be the next guy, as opposed to, say, like a Bob Griffin, who just sort of hung around, and now he's just a very good backup. And that's because I think that the coaching realm, in terms of quarterbacking, is looked at as you either have it or you don't. The development of quarterbacks over the course of their careers in the NFL has changed drastically in the last 15 years of the league.
I would argue that part of the reason is because when teams practice, really, backup quarterbacks get so few reps in practice, and starters take the majority of the reps. So now all of a sudden a guy's a starter in a game, gets hurt in the first quarter, and here comes the backup, and all he's really done is mental reps all week long in film study. He's gotten, you know, like 3 or 4 reps per practice.
Yeah, that's not how I would run my program personally, and that to me is a coaching issue.
See, I look at a guy like the quarterback in Buffalo, Allen, and this was a guy that in college at Wyoming, first of all, nobody ever saw this guy play, but he was good, but he was only good in the Mountain West Conference, and look what he has become.
He's improved
in
a lot.
NFL.
Yeah, he's a guy that is the opposite of the example of what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? But when you look at a guy like, this is not coming to mind very well now, but Jared Goff is probably another one of them. You know what I'm saying? Like a guy who I thought has all the tools, does not seem to be actually improving, and you can blame that on the quarterback every time, but at a certain point, you look at him and you say, hey, you've been in the league for a while, buddy. You're an offensive genius. Why aren't your quarterback a little smarter? You know?
Dude, this is why I'm so glad you're bringing this up, because as we go to Rams camp on Wednesday, everybody thinks that on paper, the Rams are so much better simply because of the Stafford acquisition and the Goff departure.
Mm-hmm.
I never really was beating up on Jared Goff the way so many other people did. I felt like play calling and the way they were using him was questionable many times. And last football season, as a matter of fact, I would sit here, take notes on Sundays, come back on the air on Monday, and just pick apart what I thought were obvious coaching mistakes and a misuse of what Jared Goff was. So that's really, I think, going in, by the way, the biggest headline when we get there on Wednesday, and the biggest headline for the Rams going into this preseason is Stafford was the guy they wanted. They were in a battle with the San Francisco 49ers, who also thought they wanted Stafford, and by the way, thought they were getting him. And the question will be, is Matthew Stafford, as every personnel guy and every ESPN analyst tells me, is far and away a much better quarterback than Jared Goff? Does he come in from a terrible organization, join a winning, tradition over the last 5 years?
Yeah.
Does he come in? And is Matthew Stafford all of a sudden a great winner because he put up all the stats, but he was in a really bad franchise that couldn't get out of its own way? That, to me, is the number one storyline going into this training camp.
I think that question is apt, and I think the Rams got away from themselves a little bit last year. I really do. But I think that was also because they were trying to figure something out. And that's what my question is probably going to be for most of those guys. And Greg, just quickly, I want to ask you about this. Does most of that sort of 11 package plus stuff change with Stafford? Do you do more things, or do you get a Cooper Kupp back? Do you get back into your regular sort of system and just get a guy who's more consistent to run, which we're already doing?
Yeah, so I think that's exactly what it is. I think you start doing more of what you were doing, which was moving more to a aired out type of offense that you can use with Matthew Stafford a little bit more. When it was Goff before and you had Gurley with him, that was a balanced attack where you were throwing out of the backfield, you were letting him run up the middle.
I liked that offense though.
I did too, and that's why they went to the Super Bowl, because they allowed Gurley to be that guy. But they don't have that guy. It is interchangeable, but you need somebody that can catch passes out of the backfield. Where Stafford is coming in, he's going to throw to DeShaun Jackson, he's going to throw to Cooper Kupp, he's going to throw to Robert Woods. So it's going to be more of a pass happy offense is what I think.
Okay, Kupp being back is massive, yes, in my opinion. He's the most important player in McVay's offense and has been the entire time he's been there. That's
and
a personal opinion.
Yeah, and you mentioned DeShaun Jackson. Another question mark going into this training camp. What will he be?
Yeah.
Like is DeShaun Jackson going to be a guy who stretches the field and can go deep and you can count on him to be there for 14, 15, 16, 17 games? Or is he going to be a guy who's been dealing with a lot of injuries over the last few years? Is he going to be durable enough to you know, really contribute the entire season? Because, I mean, he was a low-risk signing, but he could be a high-reward sort of player.
So what do you expect out of him? What do you actually want him to be? Like, what's a good season for DeShaun Jackson? Is it just catching a couple deep passes for a couple touchdowns, or do you need him to be 1,000 yards and
there's no way you need him to be 1,000 yards.
Right,
guy.
You don't. So what do you need from DeShaun Jackson to be like, all right, that's a successful
season?
You
need him to get 5 targets a game to be a reasonable weapon on the field. Whether or not he catches the balls is a different matter. But in terms of how you scheme your offense, there's no point in having DeShaun Jackson on the field if you're not going to target him at least 5 times a game. That's me. Maybe 3.
Yeah, if you ask me statistically, like at the end of the season, if you told me he caught 45 to 50 passes for 400 to 500 yards and had 3 or 4 touchdowns and played in 15 games, I'd be like, that was a good acquisition.
Played in 15 games is a big part of this because he's missed a large part of the last 3 seasons with injury.
So then that looks like, I mean, if as long as he comes in healthy, then you're probably going to get somewhere right around there.
Well, if he comes in healthy and if he can remain healthy.
Yeah.
These are obviously critical parts to making this all work. So, hey, look, we're at Rams training camp on Wednesday, and everybody should absolutely be tuning in because, listen, we're going to – Greg, do you have a guest list already of where we're going?
No, it's not finalized yet, but we will have at least one – somebody in the first 2 hours, only one person, and then two players in the third hour.
Okay, right. So we'll probably have like a Les Snead, you know, their general manager in the early part of the show, Kevin Demoff maybe, you know, the CEO of the organization, you know, one of these guys who's going to rep the entire team, you know, and then they'll go to practice. We'll sit around. We'll watch it. We'll probably do play-by-play, you know. Clinton, you ready to play color commentator? You want to do play-by-play?
Oh, yeah. What do you prefer? I'm a professional, buddy, for sure.
All right. All right, so we'll be there on Wednesday. But coming up next, would you rather? Let's find out what Greg's got for us. Coming up next, this is SLK on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I got it, Chris. Don't worry. All right, Cap, you ready to do a little would you rather?
Would you rather? Yes,
all right,
sir.
We're going to start with you. Would you rather have breakfast in bed or a midnight snack?
I'm going to say I'd rather have breakfast in bed. You know, I don't... This is going to sound so LZ. I try not to eat late at night, you know, because I know it's bad for me. I know that if I sleep on a quesadilla, it's just going to turn into my fatter belly than it already is. Not to mention it's bad for the acid reflux. So I think I'd rather wake up and have some breakfast in bed. That's what I'm going with here.
It's 100% midnight snack for me, Greg. Breakfast in bed is just not that appealing to me. Like, there's a mess. You got to pick the dishes back. There's crumbs in the pillowcase. No, I don't need that. You know what I'm saying? Like, midnight snack, you wake up, maybe got to take a leak, go to the fridge, see what's going on. Boom. Bang out some Triscuits with some prosciutto or something on top. Get back in the bed. Keep it moving.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
No food.
Triscuits,
no food in the bed.
And prosciutto in the middle of the night.
Hey.
Bougie.
Listen. Hold on. I'm an elaborate snack expert, okay? That's how this goes. So I keep things around that I can just mix and match. You know what I'm saying? Like Sean McVay with the offense in the running backs room, he can just mix and match guys in his packages. That's how I am with my snack offense, okay? That's how
so
it
you're
works.
Telling Laura? Me, though, really, like legitimately, middle of the night, Triscuit and prosciutto.
I keep the prosciutto on lock. So, like, if I'm looking for a vehicle for the prosciutto, I'll probably grab a cracker in the nearby, what's it called, cabinet, and I got a Triscuit or two there. Yeah, that works. That flies.
Okay. Okay, got it.
Laura?
So I was thinking about this, and I was like, there's only one reason to have breakfast in bed as a girl. There's only one reason for you to get up and do that. So I'm like, I'll do the snack.
Yeah. I mean, breakfast in bed is that's a special occasion thing that, like, you know, it could end in just
I can't
more
even
laundry.
Remember the last time I had breakfast in bed or served breakfast in bed, but I can tell you the last time I had a midnight snack. I mean, it happened last week. You know, I mean, that's what happens. You know, if you drink it all and you get home, it's quesadilla time, baby.
Oh, yeah. You kidding me? Pizza bagels? For sure.
Oh, got
I love
plenty
pizza
of those. Delicious.
That's some Bergman special. His face lit up.
Oh, yeah. I got excited right there. That was an exciting
I love it.
Thing right there.
I love
all right,
it.
Cap. Or no, sorry, Clinton. We're going to go with you this time. All right. So this is interesting. Would you rather take a vow of silence or a vow of celibacy for your entire life? You're on TV.
Oh. Oof, that's actually tough.
you were excited. You were ready to go.
I was going to say silence, but then he mentioned the fact. You know what? I'd like to believe. See, the radio is the issue here with the silence. You see what I'm saying? It's not really the television. As a member of the Handsome Man community, you can get past the talking. You see what I'm saying? This is the whole point. But damn, what's the point if this vow of celibacy is a thing? I'm going to have to say I'd probably stop talking. You know what I'm saying? I could figure it out. I'm a writer. I could figure it out, you know? But, I can't. Yeah. So vow of celibacy, not an option. How about that? I'm flustered now.
Does a vow of celibacy, just for a point of information here, Does that mean that I'm also not allowed to?
Okay. Let's just say it involves other people. You can do whatever you want with yourself.
Oh, okay. So that changes things, you know?
Does it?
Well, in the final analysis, I don't think I can shut the you-know-what up. That's one of my first problems, you know? But the notion of a life of celibacy,
you can shut it down, but you can't shut it up.
I don't think I can do that. I'm going to also take the... I think I'm going to have to take the sound of silence here. I don't think I can do the lifetime of celibacy. Laura, it's your turn, and I already know what you're going to say.
You do, first of all. Hold
up. That's awkward.
Yeah. I was like, wait, hold up.
Please tell us, Laura. What are your thoughts?
I would definitely shut up, but I've been celibate before, so it's not that hard.
Did you take a vow? Did you put your hand on a book?
No. I did it for like 6 years, and I was like, yeah, I can't do this. I'm done.
Hey,
yeah. That was enough time for me. I was like, shut me up.
Perfect dismount.
See, I pretty much knew that was going to be the answer.
All right, Cap. Would you rather get stuck in an elevator with your ex or with your partner and their ex?
Oh, this is very, very easy
this
for me.
This is dicey, but yeah.
This is so easy for me. I would much rather get stuck in an elevator with my partner and her ex-husband any day, all day, twice on Sunday, every day, anything you want to say. I would much rather be in an elevator with my current girlfriend and her ex-husband than be in an elevator stuck with my ex-wife.
Yeah, I think, listen, as a person from the district who literally was raised by diplomats, diplomacy is a large part of my platform. I definitely think Cap's option is the least, like the path of least resistance is there. You know what I'm saying? In terms of possibilities for peace. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to go the same route without having consulted my partner, who might vote differently. I would take the partner and their ex over my own ex for sure. It just seems, knowing who these people are, it just seems easier.
All right, Laura, what do you say here?
I would take my partner's ex as well.
Sorry, I just realized it depends which ex, but that's a different discussion.
Yeah, I was gonna. That's exactly. I was like, wait, what ex are we really talking
about? No, I'm
not.
But I'm just saying the collective ex situation. Yeah.
You know what? Yeah, if I go with my recent ex, I'm okay getting stuck in the elevator. We still whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wait a second. Before we get out of this, though, Bergman, I got to ask you the same question: stuck in an elevator with your ex-wife or your current partner and her ex,
I'm with you guys. I would rather, I can handle her ex.
Yeah, that guy.
I don't need to be stuck with my ex. We're on that point where we're getting along right now, but if we're stuck in an elevator, there's no way we're getting along.
Well, there were air quotes on that getting along.
There were. I saw.
Right now.
Because I got to say, like, it literally went through my head, like, what if me and my ex-wife were stuck in an elevator and we had to put our brains together and we had to create teamwork to try and get out. I mean, it would just turn into a fight in a matter of seconds, you know? And by the way, it would be all my fault.
Yeah.
Not it wouldn't actually be, but that's
what
she would say.
Here we go. Could you get out of an elevator? Well, this is a separate question. Like, who is the best person you'd want to have with you that you actually know to get out of an elevator with? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a separate discussion, but, you know.
That's a good question.
It's an interesting one. Like, who is resourceful enough? I know who
use
I would
use the exes,
pick.
For example. Like, would you?
I don't think I'd pick any of my exes. I mean, if I would.
If you had to choose, to stick along with the would you rather, would your current partner or your
there
ex?
There is an ex who I would choose.
Prefer, right?
Prefer, yeah. who would be on top of the big board for getting out of the elevator.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think I would choose my ex to get out of the elevator. For sure.
I can think of who exactly that person would be.
See, I would choose my current partner's ex-husband to be in the elevator with
that's not part of the equation.
That's not part.
Resourceful dude, man.
Right, yeah, okay. He can punch through the roof, one of those
no,
days.
No, he's just a smart guy. He's kind of like a MacGyver kind of guy who can figure things out.
Oh, yeah.
You know? He's pretty good, this guy.
Okay.
It's like sometimes when she and I need something fixed, we'll call him like a real man.
Whoa.
Did you just call him a real
man?
What
are we doing here?
Let's go to traffic.
Yeah, get out of here.
Let's do that. All right, listen. Miranda Gill is standing by with traffic. And then coming up, let me throw everybody a question. Which player is most likely to end up a Laker in the 2021 season? Throw some answers your way coming up.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Monday afternoon on SLK. Glad to have everybody along here listening on the radio, listening on the app, along with Clinton Yates in for the S and the L part of the show.
What up?
With Greg Bergman and with Unique, and that's UNEEQ with an underscore at the back end of it.
It is.
You got the SLK show on 710 ESPN. So, Clinton, let me roll something by you here and get your thoughts and opinion on this.
All right.
We've talked some Dodgers today. We've talked some Rams. We've talked about other big stories that are happening around the world of sports.
Yeah.
But bring it home here a little bit for some Laker talk, because there is a lot of conversation out there about what the Lakers are intending to do. So, Greg, jump in on this one as well. Here goes. LakersNation.com, website I like to use all the time when I'm looking up Laker-related content. LakersNation.com is running a poll right now. Here's the question. Which player is most likely to end up a Laker in 2021? Here are your choices. DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, Chris Paul, Kawhi Leonard, none of those four. Clinton, what would you say? Of those four names, DeRozan, Lowry, Paul, Kawhi, which of those four will be a Laker?
Well, I think in a threefold manner, I think it's DeMar DeRozan. Number one being, he's the best actual fit. Number two being, he's from Los Angeles. And number three, I just think he wants to be here. He said as much, you know? So that's a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned. I mean, would it be nice to pick up a Chris Paul? Sure. But that's also kind of that's just a little awkward. Like, Phoenix eliminated them from the playoffs, and then they went on the finals. If that guy comes there, that continuity tracks a little strangely for me, even though I realize him and LeBron are good friends. But I think DeRozan is the player that everybody's been looking for to some extent in terms of what he brings from a skill set standpoint, Greg. You know, like, he's a guy you want on your team sort of anyway, if you're this Lakers team, and he wants to be here. So that's a pursuit I'm making for sure from the Lakers front office.
Yeah, he was just saying today that it's about the money. It's not about the money. It's about winning a chip right now.
Right.
So, yes, I like him the best, too. I know a lot of people are out there talking about how we need more shooting, and you need the three-point shot, and you know that. But we just watched in the finals and throughout the playoffs that it really came down to the mid-range game was a big part of what happened in these playoffs. And that is what DeMar DeRozan is really, really good at. I think he fits perfectly within this offense. And yes, out of everybody on that list, Cap, I like DeRozan the best.
Okay, let's quickly review. He averaged 21.6, six, almost seven assists, and shot nearly 50% from the field. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, this guy was a weapon. He was the mid-range weapon. This isn't just like, oh, we remember DeMar DeRozan. No, he did this last season, and he was pretty good with it, you know?
So DeMar DeRozan is leading this poll right now, 32%. Chris Paul is currently in second place at 20%. Kyle Lowry right behind him at 19%. Kawhi Leonard at 6.5%. And the audience has voted, 21% by the way, that none of these four guys will actually make it onto the Lakers squad this year. And one of my favorite parts about this poll was that there's a picture of Chris Paul, and they've photoshopped him wearing a Lakers jersey. And it's just, listen, to me, it just looks weird. It just doesn't look right at all. And I know what you're saying about, you know, how LeBron and CP3 are best buddies, and LeBron shows up at a finals game and he's got his tequila underneath his seat, and they're supposed to be super close bros. I got it. But there's just something about Chris Paul joining the Lakers that just doesn't seem to work for me. And by the way, part of it is his age, and yet at the same time, I voted for Kyle Lowry in that poll, and they're the same age.
I like Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry, to me, is I don't want to say a fine addition, but I just think that adding a point guard versus adding somebody else are just two different types of additions. You know what I mean? It's two different things. And to me, you need a wing that can score from the mid-range more than you need a point guard. They have a point guard. They don't like their point guard, perhaps, in Schroeder. Maybe they don't want to pay him as much money as he wants. But, like, that's not a need in the same way that the wing is, Greg.
Yeah, so and also Kyle Lowry came out, I think it was even today also, and said that he wants 3 years, $90 million.
Ooh.
So are we giving him 3 years, $90 million at 36 years old?
Is that a discount on what Schroeder wants? Schroeder wants 100 years?
Well, he wants 120 in 4 years, I think, something wrong there. I mean, it's basically the same amount of money, and it just doesn't
–
look, I know you need a point guard, but LeBron is your point guard, and he's going to be the point guard, even if he wants to be the power forward.
Hold on, though. Can he play that position
yes.
and still make it through the season? As we saw at this age, that's why this is an important question, because the point guard position becomes more important as LeBron gets older.
So what happened to him was a fluke accident, just like it was when he got injured. That wasn't because he was playing power forward or because he was playing point guard. It didn't really matter. He had who was it? It was a Solomon Hill rolled his ankle. Otherwise, he would have been totally fine. So I honestly believe that having a guy like DeRozan to fit in amongst that, like you can't double anybody with that at that point.
Yeah, it opens up the rotation a lot.
Yes.
You know, I think so.
And it opens up, and if you don't move KCP, it opens up KCP in corners. It opens up guys that you'll bring in shooters. There's reports that, you know, that Bogdanovich from Utah, they're thinking about trading him. That's another
really?
Guy. Yeah, there was a report that
Why
I saw the other day.
Why are they thinking about trading him? That guy's good.
Yeah, well, they were saying that Joe Ingles was on the block too. Bring me Joe Ingles.
Joe Ingles is
yeah,
on the block?
Right, yeah, weird stuff.
My
right?
man Jose Ingles is on the block.
So basically what I'm saying is you can go out and you can find shooters, and guys are going to want to come here. Maybe not the big names, probably not a Joe Ingles, but somebody along those lines that's going to want to come here and just sit in the corner and shoot threes.
Right.
So having a guy that can get into the mid-range like DeRozan, be able to play off the ball like Kyle Kuzma was supposed to do and wasn't able to do, I think you open up a lot more in that sense.
I'm keeping KCP, Scott, by the way.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I would take KCP and Kuzma. Those guys are all, to me, they're all out there and available. I mean,
really?
I'm not enamored with either of those guys. Listen, but then again, you have to understand where you're getting this from, Clinton Yates, and that is I'm the same guy that said I would trade Dame Lillard for AD. I do that deal. And I'm like the only person, I guess it's me and Stephen A. Smith fighting off everybody else in the world saying, you know, everybody tells me I'm out of my mind, I'm nuts. But I have this terrible fear of Anthony Davis not being able to stay healthy going forward.
I understand that. I mean, but that's not a reason to trade him. But to that point, I think that's why a guy like DeRozan, who could actually score, you know what I'm saying? It's not just like, oh, he fills it up every once in a while. Man's averages a lot of points. You know what I mean? Playing on a team that was hanging around a similar type of place as the Lakers were. You know what I mean? It's not like the Spurs were absolutely terrible, but I mean, you know, they weren't that great either. But I just think DeRozan is a no-brainer to me. That's really what it comes down to. I'm not saying he's your number one target, but like if he wants to be here and you need that position, why does that not happen? That should happen.
This is on LakersNation.com. Which player is most likely to end up a Laker in 2021? DeMar DeRozan leading the way at 32%. Chris Paul at 20%. Kyle Lowry at 19%. Kawhi Leonard at 6.5%. Kawhi Leonard doesn't seem like Laker fans have much interest in that possibility.
How did he even get on the list is what I want to know. Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, because you got to figure that there's been so much talk about Kawhi opting out of the Clippers. And if he were to opt out of the Clippers, could he make up for what he did a couple years ago, which is choose the Clippers when most people actually thought he was going to go to the
Lakers?
That's
not happening.
That's a guy that wants money. Like, he's going out, he's going to get his cash, and he's not going to get it from the Lakers. They are nowhere near that. And they're not going to trade for him. There's no way that Kawhi goes across the locker room. It's just not going to happen. I can't see that in any sense.
Nor can I. But his name's on the list, so it gave an opportunity for people to voice an opinion. And only 6% of Laker fans thus far think Kawhi is the guy that would join the team. I mean, listen, we've got DeRozan, Lowry, Chris Paul, and Kawhi. Otherwise, it's wide open from there. I mean, there is the none option that none of these guys might make it to the Lakers this year. In which case, then you got to think about where else you might be going, which is why Kuzma and KCP to me are to me, they are chips on the table to be traded.
Yeah, no, they absolutely are. And anytime you can get out of Kuzma's contract, you basically gave Kyle Kuzma that contract just so that his money would work in a trade. Because now he's going to get $13.5 million towards any type of trade is a big, big deal. No, they don't want him there. I mean, I don't know that offhand by any means. It's just my own thought. But he doesn't fit into this offense. He doesn't fit on this team. And if he's on another team, watch him start scoring. It's going to happen. So it just has to go to the right team. Like the Buddy Hield trade, sure, let's do that. Love that.
Boy, if you were Sacramento and you would consider trading one of your best pieces to the Lakers, so you're going to actually get worse by strengthening the Lakers. I mean, if you're Luke Walton, you're like, why would we do that? Why would the Sacramento Kings ever, ever, ever help the Lakers? I mean, seriously, no matter what the Lakers could give up, we don't want to help those guys. We don't want to work with those guys. But it would be interesting to see Buddy Hield play for the Lakers because he's a good player.
Buddy Hield does not fit with that team anymore.
I don't think so either. Buddy Hield needs his own team.
Yes.
And that's the other thing with the Lakers is that you can't just, you know, Greg jokes all the time, oh, we're getting everybody. But, like, I do think you understand that, like, this is a very specific team. Any LeBron team is a very specific team. But this particular iteration, what are we calling it, Mission 18 of Planet LeBron, like, you can't just add random guys because you think they're bringing talent. Like, there has to be some level of connectivity or a fit, either from a game standpoint or a personality standpoint, with what AD and LeBron and Pelinka put together.
Which is why, by the way, you talk about Kuzma not fitting because of his skill set or his scoring ability or whatever. To me, it's just personality and what he thinks he is versus what they think he all is. So listen, we can continue this conversation, but it's certainly an interesting poll on LakersNation.com. Stick around. Laura will have what you need to know. And I am curious, what is it we need to know? We will find out together coming up. It's SLK on 710 ESPN.